Hello guys, Let's Our Podcast, it's Scott Woodwiss here.
Hi everybody, RG here.
Hello everybody from Side Podcast, Jordan Willman calling.
Hello there, it's Luke here as ever.
Hello everyone, this is Ali Nora Lacanta.
Hey Side Podcast, it's Dom.
2009 Season Review.
I am just going to explain how mad 2009 was to be a Formula One fan. What a year it was. It was absolutely, it was insane in the membrane.
2009 was a real roller coaster, but on the whole, I did enjoy it.
2009 went quickly, I think. It wasn't dramatic. It wasn't fun, but yeah, I suppose after a review, don't I?
At the start of the year, Brawn was ex-Honda. Five committed managers, including Ross Brawn and Nick Fry, didn't care about the odds of success. Together, they organised the management buyouts of the ex-Honda team, arranged for Mercedes to power its cars, and inspired the staff to make the BGP 001 as good as possible. How they managed to succeed as well as they did will probably remain one of the greatest secrets of F1 this decade.
It was absolutely horrible last winter when they pulled out the sport unexpectedly, and it was just not fun to watch and experience. And then they got survived by Brawn GP, which is just, what a year, seriously. Did I mention what a year it was? Because what a year.
Australia, to start with, probably my favourite race of the year, actually. And Jensen's on pole, Rubens is second. It was so unreal, it was brilliant. And I like Australia anyway, Australia always produces a great race every year.
Australian Grand Prix, I sort of slept through it.
The team that made the biggest step over the previous season was Brawn ne Honda, which went from the ridicule of the Airstream seasons to the sublime domination of Brawn's only season in the sport. Adrian Newey, the traditional beneficiary of major regulations changes, affected a similar change of fortune at Red Bull, although not quite of the same magnitude.
Second race, Malaysia. A pretty cool race. We got to see Nico Rosberg get a good start to get up from fourth to first in the first corner. And then from there, yeah, it was getting pretty stormy out. We saw a change of tires for Kimi, Michael Schumacher's decision to put him on full wets on a bone dry track. And his tires basically were killed once the rain started to come, and then the rain started monsooning and all these different tire choices. Jenson Button ended up coming out on top.
My first low light was Malaysia, because we all knew it was going to bucket down with rain at some point. And yet we had to watch a train wreck of cars crashing and then wait for an hour to be called as a result while the monsoons came in. And yet Bernie still justified his action of starting the race at that time. Typical.
Rain, I guess, was the thing on everyone's mind in Malaysia at the next race. Bit of chaos, really. I mean, obviously, I'm happy Jensen wins. That's fine. That's fine by me. It doesn't matter what happened in the race. As long as he's won the race, that's fine.
That was kind of put a dark cloud over Malaysia, as if there wasn't enough, as was obvious because of the torrential rain conditions. And it was literally, it was dry start, no kind of sign of any rain coming through. All of a sudden, boom, down comes the rain. And it was absolutely incredible. I mean, you couldn't see where everyone was going. I mean, people were spinning off left, right, and centre. And obviously, the race had to be called off and stopped. Half points rewarded, and Button got his second win.
It was actually quite a good race for Malaysia. It was quite exciting, and it was shaping up to be even more exciting.
This was a good Chinese Grand Prix. And it's not often you get to say that, you know, a good win for Vettel. Red Bull, you know, they're a bloody good car this year. And they deserved a win.
It was also good to see Webber come back from a bad injury. It's a shame it conspired against his best chance at a championship run. As for his teammate, it was expected to blow him away, but I reckon the two drivers came out quite close. Vettel is good, but he needs maturity, and as things got more serious, he seemed to lose his fun side and become a bit Schumacher-esque for my taste.
Some people thought Sebastian Vettel's effervescent energy would wipe the floor with Mark Webber, while others held that Mark's qualifying pace and team knowledge would give him a massive edge. Instead, each proved to be the best thing that could have happened to the career of the other. They pushed each other to higher performances all season, and both emerged with enhanced reputations.
After China comes a stage of the season where I call the Boar Fest. In general, that's Bahrain, Spain, Monaco, Turkey, Great Britain, Germany, Hungary, Europe. Button won Bahrain, Button won Spain, Button also won Monaco, Button won Turkey. And then he fell asleep.
If you're not a Brawn fan, I would have imagined the first half of the season would have been quite dull.
That first half of the season really was Buckner's to lose, really. I mean, he won 6 out of 7. He scored 6 wins and a second place. Now that is an almost perfect start to the season.
Initially, Jensen very much had the upper hand on his highly experienced teammate and won 6 of the first 7 races. Granted, one of those races was Malaysia and a bit on the short side, but the only significant error he made in that phase of the season was at Monaco. Jubilant in victory at this most challenging of circuits, Jensen went down the pit lane, parked in Parc Fermé and started celebrating. There was just one problem. Monaco is quirky. One of its many quirks is that the top 3 drivers are supposed to park at the end of the straight by the Royal Box. So Jensen put his triathlon training to good use and ran down the main straight, grinning and waving, bringing a little showmanship to a finishing procedure usually noted for its ritualistic sameness.
That concludes the Braun chapter, or at least the Jensen Button chapter of the season.
Then we went to round 6 at Monaco, and it was a pretty good race. I was psyched because my favorite driver, Kimi, was doing well in qualifying, and I get pretty excited watching my favorite driver, Kimi, do well later on this season. I'll probably get to that, but yeah, I got really excited, and so we were starting 2nd, and Jensen and Rubens got a pretty good start, and Jensen and Rubens were 1-2, and Kimi was 3rd, and that was pretty much the whole race.
The two top teams of recent seasons, McLaren and Ferrari, started the year in far worse condition than anyone could have foreseen, but managed during the course of the season to turn things round. The performance gained by McLaren is probably the biggest one-season gain we have ever seen.
Lewis was my driver of the year. His pushing at the end of Monza just showed how dedicated he is to keeping that 100% concentration and focus up that whole race, and that he didn't moan once, not the whole season, however bad the car was. And he helped that bring that car out from what was a car that, as EJ said, should have been burnt.
Great to see Hamilton come back from an awful start to the year. Even a big fan like me couldn't defend him for his actions in Melbourne. But to me, he's more than made up for it, really, by helping the team pull together and make that car fast. I think and hope he will be strong in 2010. And when you think about Alonso's claim of bringing 6 tenths to the team and Renault still being at the back of the grid, really, Hamilton has turned out to be the better development driver. Now there's food for thought.
The lowest ebb was in Britain, where neither McLaren made it into the top 14. Even there, Lewis drew attention to himself, but this time the reason was good. In defiance of a sad no-donut rule, he pirouetted his car for the benefit of the fans who'd come to support him. Silverstone was one of only 2 races which was claimed to have sold out, and unlike Abu Dhabi, it looked like it had sold out as well.
In contrast with McLaren and Ferrari, they were really nowhere this season. I mean, of course, they both teams won a race, but Lewis won 2 races. Kimi won at Spa. Kimi never really showed his worth. I mean, the car wasn't terrible. He never really showed his worth. He never really showed like he was bothered last year.
Heikki Kovalainen seemed a bit invisible during the season. He wasn't terrible, but he never quite got on top of the car. He never drew any attention to himself or his struggles either, and some drives, Valencia's 4th place in particular, were quietly impressive. However, his total lack of podiums meant that he was removed from McLaren's lineup by season's end.
Poor performance of the season award goes to teammate Heikki Kovalainen, who was finished below Felipe Massa, who only had half a season, and was below Timo Glock, who was 3 races. He was well down in Lewis Hamilton. He didn't have a good season.
And then it came to Hungary, and then you had Massa's accident, and that was probably, there was fears for his safety, obviously for his welfare because of it. It was a fairly hefty accident through no fault of it was essentially no one's fault, because a spring just came off Barrichello's car, clocked him on the head, and He had nowhere to go. He just went not straight off of the barriers, suffered head injuries, damage to his eye. Some of the pictures you see of Massa just as being get out of the car are shocking. They're horrifying. But thankfully, he's made a full recovery. He'll be back next year, which is great to see.
The next one is Massa getting injured. It reminded me too much of the day Senna died, and everyone who saw me that day wanted to know why I was so upset by it. A truly horrible day waiting for the news, and thank God he's going to be okay. Thoughts of Felipe, and see you in 2010, mate.
Felipe's accident, obviously, that was an horrific accident. That really was bad. Felipe's recovered. He'll be back racing next year, and, you know, good news did come out of it.
But Hungary, you know, that's only going to be marred for one thing. That's Felipe Massa. Very scary. Very, very scary. Very worrying times. You know, that night was worrying, you know, especially to come after a week of the death of Henry Surtees in the F2.
Felipe had been the lead point scorer up to that point and was very popular in Ferrari. Kimi, whose main strength is to stay strong whatever happens around him, claimed second in the race, and much needed a fillip given what had just happened and what was to come.
Funniest bit of the year, Badoa. There's nothing more to say.
And Badoa was monumentally bad. He was shocking, and I'm sorry, Badoa. Actually, no, I'm going to give Badoa some credit because he got to Valencia to Spa in less than a week. So fair play to you, Luca Badoa.
So when Luca was last in both Valencia and Spa, nobody was surprised. What did surprise was the margin. He was 45 seconds behind penultimate place Kazuki Nakajima and the sheer number of errors, especially since he finished every race he was in and didn't do any serious damage to his car. Not many drivers managed to get 4 pit lane speeding penalties on the same day.
Let's just say, rather unforgettable spell of Luca Badoa. And also rather unspectacular spell by Giancarlo Fisichella. 2 Italians who didn't make it really in that Ferrari.
But looking at some other teams, Renault, of course, there was the whole fiasco with Crashgate. Rio Tori's gone, which is good. Pat Simmons has gone, which, I don't know, I mean, Pat Simmons, he's not as bad a character as Brea Torre. So if he was to come back to Renault, I wouldn't mind that. But obviously, people are going to have to be very wary of him. Obviously, you'd probably put the cast into the same light as Nigel Stepney and Mike Coughlan and Dave Ryan. And, you know, I think he really needs to try and rebuild his reputation. And I think if he can do that, then he'll be able to be welcomed into the F1 paddock again a bit more easy, a bit more of a warmer reception.
Renault. Ugh, just, ugh. You don't want to know how bad Renault's season was.
Williams and Renault had disappointing seasons. Renault had to deal with the fallout of Piquet's 2008 Singapore fiasco, which resulted in the loss of Briatore and Simmons from the team. Despite the number one driver and the two teams scoring 19 points finishes between them, the number twos failed to score a single point amongst them.
Nelson Piquet. He always knows how to make things interesting, doesn't he? He can crash whenever he likes. Now it seems he can also crash on purpose. He got Flavio out of the sport. I think he has to be credited with that.
Enough of the negatives, though. Here are the positives, and the first one has to be Brazil. One of those races where your heart is in your mouth and you're on the edge of your seat. The perfect place to decide the championship, and what a race. I mean, we try and make these tracks artificially, but nothing can match a track hacking to Lagos. Just brilliant.
Brazil, the second last race, unusual, usually a final, was won by none other than Mark Webber, and it came down to the championship race of Jenson Button, who ended up getting it, coming in fourth position to clinch the driver's championship, his first one, and a good race for him. To win the championship, he was happy. Kubica came second, Hamilton came third.
Jensen drove better than I realised he was capable of driving. I never realised he had that in him, to be honest.
And then Brazil. And when you saw the qualifying and where Button ended up in 14th, you really didn't think he had a chance of doing it. But he drove an absolutely stunning race. Absolutely brilliant. He's some of the best overtaking maneuvers possibly of a decade, possibly ever. It's arguable, but anyway, 5th place, wins the championship, and Barrichello sadly suffered a puncture after Lewis's front wing clipped his rear wheel, Rubens' rear wheel, when they were passing going down the front straight. Unfortunately, that was obviously not good, but still, it was nice to see Barrichello being so sporting. And of course, we've had 2 British champions in the space of 2 years, which is excellent for the sport, excellent for Britain, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I mean, you can't forget Trillian Suter again. Oh, lovely. I loved it. I really loved it. I loved the bit where they were trying to biff. Well, there's more handbags, to be fair, but, you know, it was quite enjoyable. It was possibly one of the first times in F1 I've seen 2 drivers get so passionate for what they believe.
Brazil. Oh, what a race Brazil was. Jensen overtaking everybody. Monza. That was a fantastic race as well, Monza. But we've had good races, but we've had bad races too, and it's a shame that I think more of the bad races than the good races. But it's been an awesome year anyway.
And then came Abu Dhabi. Let's be honest, less was here the better.
Abu Dhabi. And thanks to the brilliant, brilliant work the overtaking working group did last year, we saw one of the most boring races I could ever have imagined, with a tiny bit of excitement between Jensen and Mark at the end, and the entire, all of the journalists in F1, seemingly all of the journalists in F1 and all of the media, portraying it's a brilliant race and a brilliant location, and as was said on the podcast, the most exciting thing about it was the hotel changing colour. It was a dismal race. It was awful.
Then moving on to the final race in Abu Dhabi. It's a fantastic place, but as it's a bit more like a Valencia. Probably not as bad, but the racing and the circuit could have been better. And there was nothing really spectacular apart from the two times when Button was first battling with Kobayashi and the second with Webber at the end. That was the only really two exciting parts.
The next one has to be Abu Dhabi. What a rubbish circuit. I never have been so bored in a long time watching a Grand Prix. Nice hotel, though.
Well, Bordé. I'll start off with Bordé. It was an awful, awful season. And it's scary. I think you finished 8th place. Although he was still being outbeaten, outscored by his teammate Buemi, a rookie teammate, who had one more than him already. And of course, to replace him with Jaime Alguersuari. Still the best name in F1. I loved it. Alguersuari is an awesome name. You know, I get a little kick out of saying Alguersuari, so I'm just going to say Alguersuari once more. Alguersuari.
It had certainly hoped for more from Bordé, who clearly knew he was on the way out when he retired from the Hungarian Grand Prix and hugged his race engineer in a way that clearly suggested he did not expect to see him again. He was right. Lecep was replaced during the summer break by Notseb, more commonly known as Jaime Alguersuari. He looked good, except when he was crashing.
You know, I've mentioned him before, and of course, Team O'Clock injured in the session. It didn't look like something that would make you initially think that, oh, he's going to be out to the end of the season, he's going to be all right. Toyota just given him because he's trying to stay in F1 for the following season by bringing in a promising Japanese youngster and keeping Timo Glock out of the race seat. If I'm perfectly honest, I think he was fine.
Tanui Kobayashi. He raced in the last two races of the season after Timo Glock had a dreadful crash in the chaotic Japanese Grand Prix qualifying, cracking two vertebrae in the process. This was a serious problem for Toyota's ambitions, since their third driver was a rookie with virtually no experience of the car. Little was expected of Kanwi, but what he lacks in point scoring, he more than made up for in style. In both the Brazilian and Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Kanwi showed great skill in duels with Button. Less impressive was his collision with compatriot Kazuki Nakajima in Brazil, but the raw material for a good F1 racer is definitely there.
The next pair in the championship were Toyota and BMW. Both entered the championship with a degree of optimism, particularly BMW, whose 5-year plan said that they would challenge for the championship. In reality, neither team came close to challenging, and both manufacturers left the sport by the end of the season.
It's sad to see some teams leave, but only for those who lose their jobs, really. I don't feel sorry for the teams themselves, because BMW, for me, were too corporate, and Toyota just had no idea on how the sport worked.
On to Toyota. Well, what can you say about Toyota again? This year really was the last chance, wasn't it? The last roll of the dice, and they blew it. Simple as that. And it's not truly on Glock's fault or the actual F1 team's fault. It's the way, not the personnel in the team, it's the way the team's run by the Toyota Motor Company. It was all wrong. It's like they had no passion for Formula 1. They just saw it as an exercise to try and sell more cars. And that just really, the team never had any passion or soul. Like, you know, in like Brawn or like Force India or Red Bull, it was just flat. There was no motivation. I mean, letting go of Mike Gascoigne was probably the biggest mistake they ever made.
It wasn't. Timo Glock, awesome.
I still pinch myself sometimes when I say that Jenson Button is a world champion. Jenson Button is the world champion of the world champion. of the world.
I'm happy that Jensen won, but I'm not sure that he was the driver that probably most deserved it. He got lucky at the beginning, very lucky, in a good car. He's a great driver, but someone in a Red Bull should have won it this year.
12 months ago, he had no drive for the year, no place to go, and yet he kept a brave face, drew strength from his family, and kept the faith. He was duly rewarded with the Braun, a fantastic car, especially given the circumstances. The team really showed why we all love F1. Yes, they were bankrolled by Honda, but they didn't have much spare cash and had to really pull together to get the most out of that car, especially when the other team started to catch up. But they played as a team, stuck together and won as a team. Sadly, neither driver will stick around for 2010, but with the takeover by Mercedes, there are surely great things to come from the Braun-Mercedes partnership.
Jensen took the championship in considerable style by attacking hard and overtaking plenty of people, and the victory celebrations were massive.
Underrated driver of the season. This may shock you, but Sebastian Buemi. He only got 5 points, he finished 16th. But what people are forgetting is Brazil and Abu Dhabi scored, finished in 7th and 8th. You know, outshone both Bourdais and Alguersuari. That's that name again, Alguersuari.
It was an amazing season. It was a brilliant season. It was difficult for me to watch in the second half, but I know for a lot of people it probably wasn't as exciting as 2008, but it was amazing.
2009 was the Noah's Ark season, with the teams going in 2x2 in the Constructors' Championship. Braun and Red Bull stepped up from the previous level and dominated the season. McLaren and Ferrari started badly and made such progress that everyone thinks they'll be back at the top next season. Toyota and BMW failed so badly they quit the sport. Williams and Renault failed to live up their promise, but mainly because only one driver scored for each team. And Force India and Toro Rosso brought up the rear again.
Yeah, 2009, the year of Jensen Button, the year of Braun GP, the year of Ross Braun, the team that never were, resulting in the team that no one could be. And, you know, that's what more could you ask for from Formula One? It's just such a good story for the sport, for Jensen Button to be champion and for Ross Braun to create this team and have so much success. So kudos to Ross, kudos to Formula One, and let's see what 2010 brings. Hopefully more action and less Abu Dhabi.
Been a brilliant year inside podcast. I've loved laughs, you know, inside pod panels, the iPod debriefs, the parade laughs. They've all been awesome. Looks like to thank you all once again for what has been a fantastic 2009.
Thank you so much for 2009. And I wish everyone in the community at Side Podcast and Christine to see everything to do with Side Podcast the very best for 2010. And let's hope the next year will be a brilliant season.
As for Side Podcast, well, we had another great year, didn't we? The community showed yet again what a great group this is to be part of, with lots of great comments, friendly encouragement and support for bloggers, of which many were started this year, including two of my own. I've had some great laughs with you this year and loads of fun. For example, SidePod Radio is also a real blast, and I hope we get to do that again.
I'd like to say thanks for all your guys' hard work. I may not be participating a lot in the website and all that, but I am listening. So always remember about that. Jordan's always listening.
I'm looking forward to 2010. It's going to be a really great season. Obviously, it starts all again in Bahrain next March, and I'm really excited to see Formula One coming back to our screens again.
You thought 2009 was good. 2010 is where it's happening. Jensen and Lewis at the same team. Felipe and Fernando. Another year of Vettel and Webber. 2009 was good. 2010 is where it's at.
So, yet another F1 year ends. A chaotic one, although a very enjoyable season overall. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.